Fevzi Bilgin, welcome to Worldviews.
Thanks for inviting me.
Well, you are an expert on Turkish politics, and there's certainly a lot going on in Turkey right now in this last year and beyond. But most recently, we've been hearing a great deal about the corruption charges. So maybe you could give our listeners kind of a sum up of what's going on with these charges.
December 17 was a milestone in Turkish politics. On that day, Istanbul prosecutors launched an investigation, a very wide-ranging investigation, towards cabinet ministers, businessmen close to Mr. Tayyip Erdoğan himself. Among the allegations are corruption of involving billions of dollars, serious bribes for government members, money laundering through international businessmen, and cabinet members or government bureaucrats getting their kickbacks from the from those operations. So normally, even just one of these charges would be enough to get the government down in a normal democracy.
Let me stop you for a second and try to go to the larger picture. The Prime Minister Erdoğan has been a superman of Turkish politics. Served two terms. He's changed a great deal in Turkey. His AK Party has won more and more seats each election. He tries to do something like Putin, move from being prime minister. He's constrained by the constitution to two terms as prime minister, but he wants to become president. In order to do that, he has to change the constitution. To what extent were the demonstrations that broke out this summer before all these corruption charges linked to this attempt to continue on as the real power broker in Turkey? And what were the people so upset about this summer when they began to demonstrate?
Yes. Let me start for that specific event and then, you know, let's try to magnify, look, zoom out and see what is the real problem behind all this. Gezi protests started as part of an environmental campaign to protect the park. And then because of unreasonable police reaction, And some of the statements made by the prime minister himself, people were very much agitated. And then tens of thousands of people took the street to support the protesters. And then the protests spread all across the country and turned it into some sort of social opposition against AKP and Erdoğan. And it was not about Gezi Park anymore. And if you ask what was this about, why did it become like that? I think we have to probably go back to, 2 years or so in Turkish history because, you know, in 2011, after the victory of parliamentary elections by Mr. Erdoğan, in the winter of 2011, his approval rate was hovering like above 70%. That was a very good rate. So apparently he was doing things right. He promised to reconcile with Kurdish demands. There was a new and exciting spirit about the new possible new constitution to be written, drafted. And the country's economy was doing great. So all these things basically contributed to this great, positive mood in the country. But then he started to do things that prevented these things from happening. Apparently, there's a very strong and obvious consolidation of power by him in party and generally in government. In the past, AKP was a party of consultation, so to speak. Erdoğan was still the leader, but there were number two, number three, number four people that could challenge him. But after 2011, that was not possible anymore. And not only that, the link between the leadership and the party in general was lost. After these, in last 2 years or so, a small coterie of government bureaucrats, advisors, and so on that can amount to like maybe 30, 40, 50 people formed around Erdoğan and insulated him from not only from critics, but also from like internal voices within the party. So these people were much more decisive in terms of determining policies.
Say he was becoming a dictator, or is that too strong?
The trend may end up there, but this is more of a a worrying consolidation of power, a trend for authoritarianism within still a you know, good deal of electoral democracy. But it's too early to call him a dictator.
Do you think his government can survive this turmoil? The opposition parties are saying he has to resign. It's ineluctable.
Yes.
That he can't escape it, and it's just a matter of time.
Yes. That
all of the hawks are circling, in a sense. The vultures are circling. And he is going to lead his party and Turkey to a terrible demise unless he moves out of the way. Is that true, or is that just rhetoric from the opposition?
No, it's true. The charges are so serious, and the amounts are so enormous. This is the greatest corruption case in the history of Turkey. We have seen really some serious corruption cases that led to demise of CHP MHP coalitions in '90s. '90s was like, you know, it was a lost decade for Turkey, and it was all about corruption. But the country has never seen this much. And the fact that it's coming from a very successful government, a very popular government, that was a shocker. I think AKP is still in disbelief, and they don't want to believe that. They close their ears to all sorts of like news and statements and so on. They just don't want to believe it. So normally I think the charges were enough to get the government collapse. And they should have resigned at the time, but the election will be decisive now. And basically, Erdogan took the election road, and he said that, well, first I want to go to election and see what the people think about that, and then we'll decide what to do.
Now, some of his supporters are saying that there is a plot, there is a conspiracy, and they're saying that this is being waged by the Gulenist, an opposition to him right now. Can you tell us a little bit about who this group is and if there is potentially any truth to this this targeting of him and his party?
Yes. Well, the Gulen movement originated in like 1970s, and this is around converged around Mr. Fethullah Gulen, who was a Muslim cleric in Turkey.
Who actually lives in the United States?
Now he lives, yes. He used to live in Turkey. He was, compared to other contemporary leaders, he was much more moderate, and he basically encouraged his friends to focus on education, focus on kind of like keeping dialogue with seculars and that sort of thing. And 70s was a very challenging decade for Turkey. There was like a chaotic situation, basically. By the 90s, because of the military rule and everything was kind of quiet. And in the 90s, he came out publicly, and the movement came out publicly, basically promoting an agenda that Islam and democracy can harmonize, can work together. So there should not be going back from democracy, as Turkey being the most democratic country in the Muslim world at the time, or with most democratic experience, yes. And, at the time, Mr. Erdogan and his predecessors, like Erbakan and so on, they were coming from political Islamist background. They were Islamists. They were looking for an Islamic state with different names subscribe to more top-down approach to change, transform the society. And Mr. Gulen was adamantly against it. But then the military intervention in 97 basically attacked both sides, Mr. Gulen had to leave for the United States, and the Islamists lost their party. It was banned from politics, and Erdogan served some time in jail. Then Erdogan emerged out of jail as a Democrat. He said that I'm a Muslim Democrat. I throw off my Islamist garb. Now I'm a new person, and increasingly subscribed to the discourse that was developed by Mr. Gulen himself as a more conservative, democratic discourse that created this Muslim democracy notion and strong subscription to EU membership, a strong subscription to democratization reforms, civilian constitution, and civilian control of the military. These were pinnacles, important kind of sides of the new discourse. So there were some convergence of values between AKP and the movement. Movement is a social movement, by the way. It's not a political party. It doesn't have a political party. It has a vocal media. It has a lot of educational institutions in Turkey. So in that respect, there is a considerable social influence that it has, and this social base was happy to support AKP in the elections. But nonetheless, there was no organic relation or something between the two. And in last 2-3 years, as AKP effectively beaten all his rivals, and then even co-opting other conservative political leaders. So the only thing left against Erdogan's on Erdogan's way was Gulen movement, which was resisting to co-option and which cannot be bought, apparently. And because of the media, because of the social base, the movement was increasingly critical of Erdogan for abandoning the democratic discourse, the policies, and moving more into Middle East, moving more into East, to Russia, China, and so on, moving country away from the European Union. So that's how it started. There was tension between the two since then. During the Gezi protest, movement was not very vocally supporting the protest, but they were not against it either. Even Mr. Gulen at some point of time criticized Mr. Erdogan for calling them looters. Okay, said that this is not the right way to approach this and so on. There's no need to agitate people. So that didn't work well. And when we came to all the way to November, there was now an overt assault by the government against Gulen movement educational institutions in Turkey. And finally, when this whole investigation kind of popped up, I think Erdogan and his friends thought that this is a great opportunity, by the way, to get on these guys too. So they chose the movement as a scapegoat and relentlessly attacking and portraying it as a fifth column that is effectively managed by U.S. or Israeli interest.
As a last word,
yes.
Can I ask you, mm-hmm. are you hopeful? Turkey has been a symbol of democracy
yes.
and progress
mm-hmm.
in the Islamic world. Are you hopeful that that's going to be fulfilled, or is Turkey going to see another lost decade, as you said before?
Yes. Well, I am hopeful. I'm hopeful, and I'm going to tell you why. The trend, the political trend, social trend in Turkey in the last 30 years, it was towards more democratic, more plural society. And if you look at some of the developments, for example, these aggressive form of secularism in the form of Kemalism is pretty much marginalized in the last 10 years. People were not happy about the way that government treat the Kurdish minority or other non-Muslim minority and so on. There have been great changes in that areas. And AKP won 3 elections one after another just because they basically subscribe to these notions. And now they are battling with this trend. And this trend so far has beaten all the adversaries. It seems like it's a very strong trend. And I'm hopeful that in that respect, the people's demands, people's democratic spirit and this trend will take over. But that may take a while. I am not expecting an overnight change. It may take 1 to 2 years to settle all the issues in Turkey.
Well, I guess we'll wait and see how these elections turn out.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thank you. My pleasure.